सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणाय निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णुः गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरः गुरुर्साक्षात्परं ब्रह्म तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। Chant from beginning.
तज्ज्ञानं प्रशमकरं यदिन्द्रियाणां तज्ज्ञेयं यदुपनिषत्सु निष्पितार्थम्। ते धन्या भुवि परमार्थनिश्चितेहाः शेषास्तु भ्रमनिलये परिभ्रमन्तः। आदौ विजित्य विषयान् मदमोहराग द्वेषादिशत्रुगणमाहृतयोगराज्याः। ज्ञात्वा मतं समनुभूय परात्मविद्या कान्ता सुखं वनगृहे विचरन्ति धन्याः। त्यक्त्वा गृहे रतिमधो गतिहेतुभूताम् आत्मेच्छयोपनिषदर्थरसं पिबन्तः। वीतस्पृहा विषयभोगपदे विरक्ताः धन्याश्चरन्ति विजनेषु विरक्तसङ्गाः। त्यक्त्वा ममाहमिति बन्धकरे पदे द्वे मानावमानसदृशा समदर्शिनश्च। कर्तारमन्यवगम्य तदर्पितानि कुर्वन्ति कर्म परिपाकफलानि धन्याः। त्यक्त्वैषणात्रयमवेक्षितमोक्षमार्गाः भैक्षामृतेन परिकल्पितदेहयात्राः। ज्योतिपरात्परतरं परमात्मसंज्ञम् धन्या द्विजारहसि हृद्यवलोकयन्ति। This is what we saw. For those walking the path of liberation, those fortunate ones, those blessed ones, Tanyaha, see, just to tell you a little bit about the Sanskrit also. The subject of all of these verses, in all of these verses, there are one word comes, dhanyaha, in a plural word, those who are so blessed, right? And then you have all of these other long words, all of them ending with that same, like in this verse, for example. Tyaktvaishana trayamavekshita moksha margaha. Ends just like dhanyaha. So in Sanskrit, such long phrases become adjectives to dhanyaha. Like a red car. Red becomes adjective to car. So here these long, long lines become all adjectives to dhanyaha. So people who fulfill the requirements, fulfill the qualities in these long lines, they are called as dhanyaha. Blessed, like that. So the first phrase, that long line on the top, it means those who have given up those three types of desires, which all human beings have. That is why, the reason why I'm saying three types is because each one of them, like for example, location, the desire for worldly recognition and you know that kind of thing. There are so many desires in that one category only. Sometimes a person wants to be praised. Sometimes a person just wants to be noticed. Sometimes a person just wants to be his name to be called. Or he wants some title or some such thing. So many strange types of desires are there in that one desire. So somebody must call him Mr. So and so. If that Mr. is missing, then this is amazing. Somebody wants to be prostrated to. You don't prostrate and he feels bad, you know. When you prostrate to him, he feels so good. Like that. Amazing thing. This location is so insidious. It's there lurking inside and people don't even no. So in that one category, so many types of desires will be there. So one who has given up those three categories of desires, lokeshana, vitteshana, and putreshana, these three. And avekshita moksha marga. Avekshita moksha marga, those who look towards the path of liberation or who walk the path of liberation, they are dhanyaha. Who else is dhanyaha? The other line tells now. Bhaikshamritena, with the nectar of bhiksha. What do we call as bhiksha? Alms. So whatever alms they collect, they live on that. See the parikalpita deha yatra, the journey of this body, they sustain that journey of the body just by begging some alms, and that is what they eat, that is what they sustain themselves on, and it is called as amrita. It is wonderful. Alms become amrita. Well, that you can figure out many reasons why it is called as amrita. One reason is that these sadhus who walk around, they have nothing. So if they get some food from somewhere, that thing becomes like nectar, isn't it? Because they have nothing. It means to say, when you don't, suppose you're hungry and anything you get, it becomes like nectar. Isn't it? It becomes so wonderful. The other thing is, really, a person gets in this world only that thing which he is deserving. Whatever he deserves, that only he will get. And what does one deserve? One deserves what only one has worked for. Whatever one has put out some labor for. That is the fruit of his labor, fruit of his whatever things he has been doing all of these years. That fruit is the, look at it this way. See, there's a nature. And from that nature, he has milked out something to consume. So just like from an orange, when you milk out, you take out, you get ras, the juice. So also from Netya also, he has now taken out something to eat. So that is like nectar. It is like the essence of the ras of the world. He is taking out to eat. Jyoti parat parataram paramatma sangyam. He understands that light of the Supreme Self. He knows that light of the Supreme Self, which is beyond the beyond. Parat parataram. It is beyond everything, higher than everything. That person is Dhanya, who Dvijarahasi Hridyavalokayanti. He stays all by himself. That Brahmana stays all by himself in the forest or stays somewhere all by himself. And he meditates on that Supreme Self in his own heart. So indeed he is blessed. That Rahasi word is coming, I was telling you yesterday. No? A very important word, learning to stay by ourselves. Bhagavan Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, the exact same word Rahasi in the 6th chapter. Yogi Yanji Prasatam Atmanam Rahasi Sthitaha Atmanam Rahasi Sthitaha. Staying all by oneself. Practice that. At other places, he mentions also about not hanging around crowds. Always good to take time for yourself and take out. That is why we have some period of mourning. That time we are supposed to be by ourselves. Even if you are in the company of other people, you can be by yourself. Vivikta desha sevitvam. This is praise in Bhagavad Gita. Vivikta desha means to go in some secluded place. Vivikta sevi laghvashi. See, three times in Gita he is mentioning this word about being in a vivikta desha. Vivikta desha means secluded place. All by yourself. It is when you are by yourself, Gandhi used to say, when we are by ourselves, we come face to face with all our shortcomings. When we are in the company of other people, those shortcomings are hidden there because we are always trying to measure up with other people, to add to the conversation, to make our contribution, all that kind of thing. When we are in other company, that is what we are doing. So we do not come face to face with ourselves, with our shortcomings, with our, you know, all these things inside. The more we stay by ourselves, the more we come face to face with them. So it's very good. So these people are so fortunate, they're able to stay all by themselves, and they have evolved to such a state where they can now sit and meditate on that self in their own heart. Hridi avalokayanti. They see the Supreme Self in their own heart. Then, in a most wonderful verse, when we were in ashram, Guruji Swami Tejomaya Nandi has come to take this text for us. Gurudev would be taking, Gurudev took so many things, then Guruji took so many things, Hiranandji was there, he was taking also. I remember, and you know, Guruji loves music, and this verse is the most musical verse you will ever come across. It's so wonderful. When he came to this verse also, he was very happy. It seemed as though he was waiting to reach from number 1 to number 6, you know. Wonderful verse. See. Na san na san na sada san na mahan na chanu. You all are very musical also, eh? Na stri puman na chana pum sakame kabijam. Yair brahmatat samanupasitame kachittaihi. Dhanya vire juritare bhavapasha baddhaha. These verses from number 6 to number 8, I think what they describe is exactly what the realized soul, or that most fortunate person, the most blessed person, what he experiences, what he knows inside. The other verses, many of them talk about sadhana and all that kind of thing. But there's one more thing. It is said that siddha kasya lakshanani sadha kasya sadhanani. It means to say, that whatever is the lakshanas or qualities of a dhanya, that realized soul, whatever are his qualities, those qualities become our sadhana. So suppose he is a person who is very peaceful, shanta. Now that acquiring that shanti becomes our sadhana. That may be his quality, but it's not our quality. You know? We are not shanti, we are ashanti. All the times our mind is agitated. So to quieten the mind and make it peaceful, that becomes our sadhana. Whatever his qualities are. So these are his qualities. So this is what we have to realize also. See, what is that? Na sanna sadasan namahanna chanu. That reality is not asat. Na asat. It is not unreal. Then, nasat. It is not real also. Then, na sadasat. It is not a combination of real and unreal. It is mahat. Or na mahat na cha anu. You see, it depends on where you put these nas. The Sanskrit nas are very wonderful. That na word, one little word, sometimes you can put it at the end of the sentence or beginning of the sentence or middle of the sentence. The Sanskrit allows that. The English doesn't allow any such thing. Huh? In English, you have to put the word in a particular place, otherwise it means nothing. In Sanskrit, you can put the word anywhere. So therefore, you can have different interpretations. But anyway, the regular interpretation is that self is not describable. That is the idea. He understands that he cannot describe that thing which is infinite. If you describe something which is infinite, that is a contradiction in term. Because remember, define means definite. Finite. You see, in definite, there is finite there, na? And you are talking about something which is infinite. Then how are you going to define that which is? You cannot define it, you cannot refine it. That is already infinite. You cannot do anything to it. So if you say it is sat, it is existence, or it is real, your definition of that thing will always fall short. Because when you say real, or you say it is existence, or any word you use, many times we use the word sat chit. No, no. They are only words that we have at our disposal to take our mind in that direction. That is all. We cannot really define it. They are convenient words that we use. Good idea is to say to define reality is to defile reality. We cannot really define it. Huh? So don't think that we should throw away the words also. Sat, Chidananda, and all those words that we use. Or Sat, word that we use. You should not throw it away, but always remember at the back of your mind that the word is only something pointing me in a particular direction. The truth cannot be conceptualized and defined and spoken of. Therefore, in the Upanishads, in the Kena Upanishad, it is said, it is natatra. Vak gachati na chakshuhu, no manaha. The mind cannot go there, the speech cannot speak about that thing. It is beyond all of these things. You will never know what it is like, and you will never be able to say what it is like. Because it is not to be known in an objective way. You cannot know it in an objective way, because it is always the subject of any objective experience. Like the flashlight cannot turn on the battery. The batteries which are behind the flashlight, they cannot turn on that. The flashlight will, the bulb in front will know, I am being powered by something, you know. But what I am being powered by, I can't tell. So we can intuit, it says, that reality is buddhi grahyam atindriyam. The buddhi can intuit the existence of a higher reality. Like when you see, it is called as anumana pramana. When you see smoke in the hill, you know that there is fire, isn't it? What is it called in English? Anuman, praman? Inference, right? Inference in English. So, when you see smoke there, you know that smoke will never be produced without fire. In the very same way, when I see a universe bubbling with activity, and when I see consciousness everywhere, existence everywhere, and all that sort of thing, we know that there's a source for all of these things. There's some source for it. But what that source is and all that kind of thing, no matter how much this little mind tries to figure out, how much the speech tries to tell about it, it will always fall short. That is the idea. So it is not Sat, it is not Asat. In the Bhagavad Gita also Bhagavan tells you. The very same thing in the 13th chapter. Na Sat tan na saduchyate. It is not Sat or Asat. We use the words conveniently because those are the highest words that we as human beings are capable of conceptualizing. That is all. But it always falls short. It has to fall short. And not only a little bit short, way short. Because our little mind conceptualizes this terminology and brings it out. But where is our mind and where is the reality which is infinite? You see? Even when we use the word infinite, that is only a concept. It is only a concept in our mind. What is infinite? That reality is so mysterious. That is why the best thing in this whole path, which has to eventually happen for any person to reach that state, is to just surrender. That is the best. At some point, we'll all have to surrender all this search and all this intellectualization and all this, you know, being a sadhak. The sadhak will have to give up his habit of being a sadhak. Instead of being a sadhak or being a seeker or being an aspirant, he'll have to give up all of those things and just be. Not being this or being that or being the other thing. That is surrender at the highest level. Surrender in Hindi is sar andar. Give up, because the head is always going on thinking this thing, thinking that thing, thinking the other thing, isn't it? Coming up with new theories and the head keeps going. So that head you have to put it. Yeah. It is not mahat, huge. Nacha anuhu. Or nacha anu, it is not small. We may describe it as, because the Upanishads do describe, you know. It is anoraniya samanusmaritya. Anoraniya means it is smaller than the smallest. It describes. But it's all description to take the mind in a certain direction. Gurudev is to say that all these words are all pointers only. And he's to tell a further thing, which is so wonderful. That if I point to the moon like this, right? You have to first look at my finger, but you cannot keep your eyes on my finger. You have to see what the finger is pointing to. Otherwise, you will never see the moon. You will only see finger. So you have to look to the thing to which the words are pointing. Otherwise, they are just mere words. Na stri na puman na cha na pumsakam ekabijam. It is not masculine, no? Feminine? No, in this world also we know in between. Masculine or combination of masculine and feminine. So it is none of these also. Ekabijam. It is the one seed of all things in the universe. One thing we can say is that all things come from this reality. This reality is infinite. Yehi brahma tat samana. Samanupasitameka chittaihi. Those fortunate ones, those blessed ones, are the ones who sit and meditate on that reality with chitta ekagrata, concentrated, single pointed mind. Eka chittaihi, a single pointed mind. They are the ones who are fortunate to meditate on that Brahma. That reality with single point in mind. Thanyaha Vireju Juhu. They are the ones who see that self also shining in their own heart. And then itare bhava pashabaddhaha. All other things, all other people and all other preoccupations is just nothing but bondage. Only to sit and meditate on that self in our own heart makes us dhanya. Any other thing we engage in, that is only bondage. Bhava pashabaddhaha. Bondage in this mundane world. That bondage and the mundane nature of this world is described, you will see now, number 7. And again, he'll go back to this, describing those fortunate ones in number 8. See number 7 now. Ajnana panka parimagnam apetasaram. Dukhalayam marana janma jaravasaktam. Samsara bandhanam anityam avekshya dhanyaha. Jnana sinat tadavashir yavinishchayanti. Ajnana panka parimagnam apetasaram. This bondage which we have found ourselves in this ever-changing world. See, some people think, what bondage? You catch any person in community, right? And you tell them, do you know that you are bound? It is very difficult to see. This scripture goes on talking about bondage, bondage, bondage everywhere. And people are at a loss to know, how am I bound? I'm not bound. Swami goes on talking about bound, bound, but I'm free. I'm actually also free to leave this Swami's class. This bondage is seen from a spiritual point of view, not from a physical point of view. See, you're free to talk. You're free to leave. You're free to come here. You are free to do all of those at the time, nah? But do you know, the most important things in life, we are not free from them. Are we free from disease? Who can say, I will not get any disease? I am free from this. I am free from pain, sorrow, free from desires. Are we free from old age? Everybody will get old. Are we free from death? Everybody will die. Free from hunger? We can go on making a list so long, isn't it? Are we free from so many things? You can go on adding to that list. And those are the important things, actually. You're free to vote, but you can do without voting. But can you do without eating? Important things, and still we go and think, I'm free. This is the land of the free and the brave. Or whatever, like that. But we are so bound in this world. It's amazing. And some of the bondage, all bondage, first of all, stems from agnya. The first word which is given. The fact is, at the highest level, I am absolutely free. I was never bound. I am not bound now. And I can never be bound. That is the fact. But because there is ajnan, I have the feeling that I am bound. Because I have the feeling that I get sick. I have the feeling that I am hungry. I have the feeling that I will die. I have the feeling that I have the feeling that I am limited. So many different types of feelings I have. Only because of ajnan. Ignorance. His Agnyan is so wonderful. He's like the grand poobah, you know. And from him, all the other things come. So it says this slush mud of ignorance. The verse is very descriptive. It describes Agnyan as slush mud. That slush mud, we are sunk, all of us. And that's slush mud of ignorance. Magna. And really, this bondage and ignorance and all of these things really are not there. Apeta saram. They're not real. The bondage is not a real bondage. I was passing near some place in our city, and a circus was in town. And I saw a big elephant there. So I stopped. Just to take a look at that elephant. Because in Trinidad, you don't see elephants. Only if a circus comes to Trinidad, you'll see an elephant. So, I noticed that an elephant, this huge creature, was tied to a little post as thin as this microphone stand. His back leg, one leg, was tied to a thin post like this. I thought, what a funny view. I asked that man who was feeding me. I asked him, what is this, a joke or what? You tie an elephant to a little peg as thin as this thing. Yeah, no, this is not a joke. That elephant will not pull that out. I said, but why? Yeah, because when he was a little elephant, a baby elephant, we had tied his back leg, with a rope that thick to a tree. So he pulled, he couldn't pull it out. He pulled and couldn't pull it out. And after many years of pulling and realized that he cannot pull it out, then, now you can take a thin rope like this and tie that same leg to a thin peg. He said, he'll not go anywhere. How wonderful, you know, that we do this for so long. Now he thinks that he is. Yeah. He's really not. He can pull that whole tent now. But he will not do it. He's come to believe that he is bound. He cannot go anywhere. The belief only. Really, he's not bound. He can go away anytime. So, this bondage is really not a real thing. Papiyata Sahara means it is not real. It has no reality. But yet, it is so powerful in binding us, isn't it? It is amazing. We experience this quite regularly in life. Huh? If you feel that the room has a ghost, there's no ghost in the room, but that feeling it's capable of doing, of making magic, isn't it? That feeling alone. Apeta Sahara means no reality, no substance, but yet it is so powerful. Dukhalayam, it is the very abode of all sorrow, this samsara in which we are living, with its bondages, caused by agyan. It's the very abode of all sorrows. I described that yesterday also. In Bhagavad Gita, in maybe 13th or 14th chapter, Bhagavan exhorts everybody to practice a most wonderful thing in Vedanta. Shankaracharya also in many places in the scripture. That is called as Dukkha Dosha Anudarshanam. Dukkha Dosha Anudarshanam means learn to see the sorrows associated with this samsara. Otherwise, you know, we only look forward to the joy. We are encouraged also by society and all. And we never pay attention to all the sorrows and all the bondages. And not only encouraged, you know, we put many mechanisms in place to pull our mind away from all of the sorrows and keep the mind only on the little joys that are here and there. And so we have to multiply them so that the mind can go from one to the next. Multiply the number of joys. Increase the number of joys. So when the mind is finished enjoying one thing, it jumps to another thing. And like that, it keeps going. So it is actually evading all the sorrows of the world. But one day it will run out. It will not last forever, isn't it? And that when it runs out, then we find ourselves in real trouble. So he says, Dukkha Dosha Anudarshana, learning to see all the sorrows associated with this world. What sorrows? Marana, Janma, Jara. Marana is death. So you say, okay, we all know how death brings sorrow. But Janma, birth also? When there's a birth in the house, everybody's happy. Isn't it? Yariva, Munna has come to my house. So we are happy like that. But with this birth, the fellow who is born, he is not happy. Isn't it? He comes out crying. Oh, pray, I have come to this world again. You know, this human being is the most wonderful creature. You have a donkey, right? If you have a donkey, and you catch him, and you give him a good beating, a good thrashing, right? And then you let him go. You think tomorrow morning that donkey will come back for another thrashing? He'll not come, isn't it? The moment he sees that stick. Yeah. But this human being comes to this samsara and takes a beating. And next birth again, comes back and he takes another, and he takes beating like anything. One man had gone to a satsang, you know. And that Swamiji was telling him that satsang, that in our next birth, you know, we can become anything. We can even be born as a donkey. So he came home and he was a little bit worried. You know. So his wife saw him and he asked, what happened? He said, well, I just heard that Swamiji saying, you know, in my next life, I could become a donkey also. She said, you will not become a donkey in your next life. So he said, oh, how do you know that? She said, because you are never born the same thing in two consecutive lives. Don't know, need to worry. Yeah. But really speaking, all of us are like that. Actually, that donkey is smarter than us, really, because he doesn't come back to take any beating. So, this janma, birth after birth, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, again and again, we come here and take beating in the samsara, only to come back for another round. Janma, maranam. Jara, and in between, there's Jara. Jara means old age has nothing to do with years. Eh? Old age is very not so much related to the number of years. See, old age is associated with a number of things, with failing senses, failing mind, failing body, all those things. Eh? But those things happen to people who are 5 and 10 years old or not. See? Children also wear glasses. No. So the eyes fail. Even at a young age. Everything, the memory fails. Children forget. Everybody forgets. One man went to the doctor and said, doctor, I have this really big problem. What is that? I'm forgetting everything. The doctor said, what is your age? He said, I am only 35. How long have you been having this problem? He said, what problem? Forgot. Everybody forgets. So those problems which we encounter, we may encounter them more at a later stage in our life. But they're there in everybody's life. The moment we are born, our destiny is a grave, isn't it? The moment we are, so right now, are we living or dying? The amazing thing. It's very difficult to say whether we are living or dying. Certainly, we know that we are dying, that is certain. Whether we are living, that we are not sure. This is Jara from Buddhistan. So, from the birth till the death and in between. The birth and the death and in between. All just bondage and suffering. Samsara bandha. Samsara bandham. Anityam aveksha dhanyaha. It has to be seen constantly. That is really not real. And it is temporary. The person has to learn to see that. Huh? When we start inquiring into its nature, we will see that it is really not real. The only way to get rid of it is, that's why it said in the last line there, jnanasina, jnanasina, tad avashirya, vinishtayanti. With the sword of knowledge, I am supposed to cut asunder this bondage, which I have, which is there inside, which is really not there. Only the sword of knowledge can cut it. In 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there it says with the Asanga Shastrena. Asanga Shastrena means with the weapon of detachment. So that's how we start. We have to have two weapons then. One weapon is called a detachment, and the second weapon, which is even more potent, is called the sword of knowledge. So we start with that easy one, you know. Detach, detach, detach. From this, from that. And then acquire that knowledge and cut this ajnan once and for all. After that, see if that elephant were to pull, he'll pull down everything. Then he'll realize, I was never bound. I could have pulled this thing a long time ago. I was just thinking I was bound. That thinking is wrong thinking, ajnan, and one has to cut that wrong thinking with the light of knowledge or the sword of knowledge. And then again, the state of that person is described now in a most wonderful verse, which is the icing on the cake, the last verse. Shantairananyamati bhir madhura swabhavaihi. Ekatvanishchita mano hirapeta mohaihi. Sakam vaneshu vijitatma padasvarupam. Tad vastu samyaganisham vimrishanti dhanyaha. Dhanyaha. Indeed, they are blessed. Who? What? Vaneshu vijita atma padaswarupam. Those who have won or conquered the atma padaswarupam. That supreme self or the nature of the supreme self. They are indeed blessed. In other words, reach that state of Atma. They are Shanta. First word is Shanta. Peaceful in heart, calm and tranquil. There is nothing that they run after in this world and nothing that they seek. They are serene. Shanta. Shantaihi. Ananyamiti bhihi. That state is conquered by those who are ananyamati means those who subscribe to and have realized what it means when it is said none otherness. There is no otherness for them in this world. It means that person who has identified with everything. There is nothing in this world which he can call as other because everything is me. See, I can right now say you are other than me. But for the person who has realized this Atma, Atma Swarup, there is no otherness. He is everything. He sees himself as this expansive universe also. And his nature is Madhura Swabhave. They are of madhura swabhava, sweet nature. If any of you have ever had opportunity to sit with our Guruji or Gurudev, then you will know this madhura swabhava, sweet nature. Huh? And nature is like, so nobody wants to leave them. And in our case, when somebody is coming, look, look, better hide. But when people are in the company of Guruji, Gurudev, nobody wants to leave. They want to go, but nobody wants to leave them. Madhura swabhava, like, you know, like flowers that exude nectar, and all the bees come. That the sweetness of the self is like that. So since they are so in touch with that self, they exude the sweetness of self. Madhura swabhava. Ekatva nishchaya manobhi apetamohehi. Whose minds have clearly come to see the oneness of all things in the universe and who have gone beyond all moha. Apetamohehi. They have gone beyond all delusions. Remember I was telling that there's a wonderful story I was telling last night about. It demonstrates delusion so well. One barber, you know, he was giving a haircut to somebody. A little boy was passing through. So the barber told that customer, "You want to see the most dumb kid in the whole world? Look, look, I'll show you. The most foolish kid in the whole world." Barber called that kid, and in one hand he put 4 quarters, and in the other hand he had a $5 bill. So he told that kid, "Hey kid, which one do you want?" The kid chose the 4 quarters, because this is 4 and this is 1. The barber told his customer, "I told you this has to be the dumbest kid in the whole world, you know." The kid left happy. Then when the customer was finished cutting his hair, he also left. And right across the street, he saw the kid coming out from an ice cream shop with an ice cream in his hand. He had taken his $1 and he had bought an ice cream. So he walked up to the kid and said, "Hey, what happened? There was a $5 bill in the other hand. There were 4 quarters. Oh, my goodness. Took the 4 quarters in it." He said, "The day I take that $5 bill, the game is over." See that? How many $1 he must have gotten, isn't it? And see, the wonderful thing there is, the barber is thinking this kid is dumb. The barber doesn't know he himself is dumb. He's caught by this kid for so long. And this kid is going on enjoying ice cream. It's a wonderful thing. That is called delusion. I'm thinking I'm so smart, but really I'm caught by a little. Yeah. So they have become free from any such delusion that I am this when in fact I am that. They have become freed from that. We feel that we are the body, mind and intellect. But I am in fact something else. Totally. Sakam Vaneshu. In the forest, they say. Yeah, forest can mean anything. It doesn't have to be any physical forest. It's a person. As a matter of fact, people say this world is a jungle now. We go on saying. The world itself is like a jump. Tad vastu samyak anisham. Samyak anisham vimishanti dhanyaha. Having known that reality, tad vastu, the nature of the reality, that is what they talk about with others. That is what they discuss. They don't want to discuss anything else. Now, what else is worth talking about? They talk about this reality only. Because even to talk about it brings so much of bliss, so much of joy, so much of happiness to them. But they go on talking about that thing, discussing that thing, and they do it well also. Means don't use it. Samyak Vimrishanti. They don't use that just to impress anybody. Tulsidas, he writes at the end of Ramayana, in the beginning of Ramayana, listen to his words. Is he talking about Ram? So what he said? Nana Purana Nigamagama Sammatam Yat Ramayane Nigaditam Kvachidam Yato Yatoti Swanta Sukhaya Tulasi Raguna Pradatha. That from his own, from the joy of his own heart, he writes this Ramayana, he composes this Ramayana from the joy of his own heart. This is joy just talking about the Lord, that is bubbling out. Not that he wants to impress anybody, or not that he has something to sell to anybody, or, you know, to get a following. No such thing. The joy of his heart is just bubbling out. And this Ramayana is coming out like that. So, having known this reality well, they talk about that not because they want to get any name and fame and recognition or anything. There's joy in their heart. They go on talking about it. And they talk with who? Those people who want to hear, who want to discuss, who want to talk. Those who do not want the wonderful things about saints and sages, everything is good. You want to listen? Good. You don't want to listen? Good. Like that. Everything is good for them. All right. I think you also, and I also, we are all Tanya. Because we had an opportunity to study this thing. Okay. Then we have one more class from 10 to 11. And we'll conclude. We traditionally chant the first verse, symbolic of starting to this text all over again. It means one study should not suffice. We should go on study. Tajnyanam prashamakaram yadindriyanam. Tajnyeyam yadupanishat sunishchitartham. Te dhanya bhuvi paramartha nishchiteha. Sheshastu brahmanilaye paribhramantaha. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.